Man, I see him do it again. Man, I can't even tell y'all. Y'all are now in the overflow of what already happened in here today. So I just want you to know God's already doing great, great things. And so I'm not even going to mess around too much with this introduction. Today, we're going to cover the movie Doctor Strange. And whee, the young people said. So Doctor Strange, if you haven't seen it, I can give you a quick synopsis to catch you up to speed. And for those of you that are guests with us, during our summer times, the last 3 or 4 years, we do Summer at the Movies, where we take truths that we look in to movies, and we can draw out creative opportunities to reinforce timeless truths, because we believe that God is the artist and his art form is truth. And so all truth is from him, and we can observe that truth in all of the different facets of our lives. And so with Doctor Strange, he is an egomaniac with a God complex. He's a brain surgeon who believes that all of life revolves around him, and his identity is wrapped up in what he does. And if you take away from him, which in the movie, the drama is about he loses. He loses the very thing that defines him. And so now what do you do when you've looked for something outside of God to define who you are? When you've looked for something in this world that is temporal to tell you what your value is. And so he goes through this crisis of trying to figure out, what do I do when I can't do the thing that's defined me all of my life? And so we're going to get into a message this morning that I think is going to be easily relatable. The first clip, we're going to divide into two halves, media y media. I just returned from the Dominican Republic, so my Spanish is like on point right now. And I'm almost preaching in Spanish, Pastor Carlos, right? La palabra de Dios, sí, all right? I mean, I'm just going to bring it, and that's the word of God, if you don't know. Anyway, I'm half Spanish now, is what I'm trying to say. And so anyway, as we're getting into this morning's message, the first clip is going to be an interaction with his somewhat love interest in the movie, in which she's trying to help him find his way out of the darkness. But he is neck deep in the pride rye, and he's unwilling to receive the help that is so graciously being offered to him. And I don't know what it is about us when we're broken that refuses to receive help. And so as we watch this first clip, I just want you to ask yourself, how do you handle help when God is trying to fix your brokenness? Would you guys watch this with me?
$200,000.
You've always spent money as fast as you can make it, but now you're spending money you don't even have. Maybe it's time to consider stopping.
No, now is exactly the time not to stop, because you see, I'm not getting any better!
But this isn't medicine anymore. This is mania. Some things just can't be fixed.
Life without my work
is still life. This isn't the end. There are other things that can give your life meaning.
Like what? Like you?
This is the part where you apologize.
This is the part where you leave.
Fine. I can't watch you do this to yourself anymore.
Not too difficult for you, is it?
Yes, it is. It breaks my heart to see you this way.
No, don't pity me.
I'm not pitying you.
Oh, yeah? Then what are you doing here? Bringing cheese and wine like old friends going for a picnic? We are not friends, Christine. We were barely lovers. But you just love a sob story, don't you? Is that what I am to you now? Poor Stephen Strange, charity case. He finally needs me, another dreg of humanity for you to work on. Patch him up and send him back into the world, hearts just humming. You care so much, don't you?
Goodbye, Stephen.
Man, I just like played some of y'all's living room this week, didn't I? Oh, y'all don't even know. Y'all didn't even know what you were stepping into this week. I'm telling you, woo, look, put up my first proverb. Arrogance only leads to strife. Arrogance only leads to strife. But wisdom is gained by listening to advice. We're just going to leave that up for just a little bit. Man, I thought of Doctor Strange, and sometimes whenever I'm like giving marital advice, occasionally when I'm counseling, people say things, and as the spectator in the room, you're like, oh, don't say that. Not that. No, that was the wrong thing. Or they'll recount to me like how everything like happened. And like at some juncture, they will recount something that was said. And I'm just like, oh, you didn't really say that, did you? You didn't go there. As I was watching this clip, some of the staff, we were gathered around. Josh is the guy that kind of cuts everything up. And we were watching it. And we were both like physically like recoiled whenever that line comes out. She's like, there are some things in life that are still valuable even if you don't have your work. Like what? Like you? It's like, oh, don't say that, anything but that. This is the part where you apologize. He doubles down. She throws the life preserver out to the drowning man. And he's like, pushes it away and swims off into the night. And he's like, this is the part where you leave. I was like, no, that was your chance, man. Arrogance leads to nothing but strife. Man, how do you handle help? How do you handle help? You see, some people, this is a sickness. We look at people trying to help us as an admission of weakness. Therefore, if I ever asked somebody to help me, I would be admitting that I'm incompetent. I'd have to admit that I don't know. And for some people, they have such a fear, they are like on the pride ride. You can ride the pride ride as long and as low as you want to go. I mean, I'm telling you right now, you can ride it until the bottom. And sometimes I think people are at their bottom, and guess what? They surprise me. They're like, no, 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 brother. I am going even deeper into this one. You're like, man, disembark, put the shovel down. Arrogance leads to nothing but strife. You know what strife is? Strife is conflict. I just want you to do the litmus test this morning in your life. Is your job and all the people around you, is it surrounded by constant conflict? Is your marriage marked by constant conflict? Is your parenting marked by constant conflict? Is your friendships, is your church relationships, are everywhere you go, is it just, does this seem to follow you? And is it everyone else? Could it be that the whole world is broken and you are the only righteous one? I can tell you this, that one thing is for certain. If constant conflict is all around you, then either one or the other or both are on the pride ride. And it's going to keep producing the same fruit. Arrogance leads to conflict. It says, but a person, if you want to rise above it, is going to get advice. They're going to get help. I started thinking about that. You know, the word for God, the incommunicable name of God, is Yahweh. Anybody familiar with that? Anybody ever heard of that? Yahweh. Do you know what Yahweh, what his name means? It means ever present to help. Like eternally present to help. Now, how can he be God in his relationship with you if you can't admit that you need help? You understand what I'm saying here? Like, he can't even be who he is if you don't admit you need help. If you sit in here this morning satisfied to be self-reliant, then I promise you problems are coming in your life. Look at this next verse. It says that joy is good medicine, right? Joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones, all right? Joy, happiness, laughter is good medicine, but whenever you have a broken spirit, it dries up the very life. You become brittle in your life. Next verse, these are two kind of mirrors of the same concept, slightly different angle. It says, a man's spirit can endure sickness, but who can survive a crushed spirit? In other words, you can take some things in life. You can handle some things, some pain in life. And you may even have a higher aptitude. It's just like working out. Some people can go in there and just like, oh, yeah. And they get done and they're just like, what? And you're just like, oh, Lord Jesus, please don't make me do another squat. And so anyway, I mean, you have a different aptitude. So you might be able to take, you might be able to endure longer than someone else. But he says, there's another place. He says, a crushed spirit, who can survive? Who can survive? And I don't know if you know what crushed looks like. But crushed is when you get to the point where you lay down and you don't get back up. Crushed is the point where in your mind you turn off the switch of ever trying again. Crushed is the point that you get to where you believe someone else's voice about what your value is. Crushed is the point where there is no hope and there is no light at the end of the tunnel. Dr. Strange finds himself crushed. His hands can no longer do the thing that has defined him. Man, if you walked in here today crushed, the Bible says you can't endure that. You won't survive that. How do we handle help? How do we handle Yahweh trying to step in to our accident, trying to help our hurting, trying to heal the hopelessness? He's falling in the pitfall of purposelessness. He doesn't know what his life is about, and the very one who is trying to help him is the very one he is hurting. Why do we hurt the people that are trying to help us? Why do we push away and insult the people that are trying to save us? I thought that is a very appropriate question that we need to answer today. And I thought about three different levels, and we'll start light and work our way to deep. And I thought about the joyful heart is good medicine. Some people need to understand that you need to learn to laugh if you're going to get out of being crushed. For instance, how do we come into church every week? Every week, some people come in here, and I'm getting ready to manipulate you just to let you know. And you walk in here, and there's never a smile on your face. Now, you know when I look at you, you better smile, right? And so you walk in here every week, and you never smile. And yet God says that you should have joy in your heart as a result of your relationship with Christ, right? That should be to the point of overflowing in every area of your life. So how could you sit in a worship service where we're singing about Jesus and the Holy Spirit is moving around you, lives are being changed for eternity, and you sit there stoic? Now, what's odd about these people is that they would say that they are happy. So in my mind, I'm like, your brain needs to tell your face how you're feeling. You need to look in a mirror and say, does this face look like it's communicating that I have joy? Because some of you, your face did not get the memo this morning. I'm telling you right now. It says that a joyful heart, put it up on there. A joyful heart is good medicine. We know through science that this is absolute. This is not just an abstract thought or concept. This is reality. That people that have happy lives, people that have joy in their lives, people that have found contentment in their lives live longer. I want to ask you a question. Some people look at laughter as frivolity. That's not a word that you use all the time. They look at it as useless. I don't have time to have fun. I don't have time to laugh. I don't have time to share funny stories. I must be serious all the time. I just want to ask you a question, just a quick question. Just throw it out there. On Friday night, you're wanting to hang out with somebody. Is that your thought? Like, I want to call the serious guy that only wants to talk about deep stuff and never has any fun and never laughs at any joke. That's what I want to sit through for the next 2 hours. Call that guy. I want to call the lady that always is angry and always looks like this and just walks in with just like angry face all the time. I mean, let's call them up. Let's hang out with angry all night. Yeah. People don't want to hang out with that. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like the Bible says, if you want to have friends, you must show yourself. Anybody know? Friendly. That means that this is where it starts, okay? This is where it starts. Nobody ever built a friendship on this. Nobody's ever walking around like, if I could just find the person that's angry and bitter, I want to be friends with them. No. A joyful heart is good medicine. It reproduces joy in other people's life. Like begets like. If you want to know what is being produced around you, you should probably look at what's being produced in you, because that's probably what you're going to give away. So this morning, if you haven't learned to laugh, I just encourage you, if you want to live longer, you better learn the lesson of laughter. Crushed spirit, where does it come from? I thought some people, like Dr. Strange, they're self-loathing. They're self-hating on some fundamental level. And they kind of feel like, I'm not worthy of love. I don't want to receive love. I don't trust people. I don't want people to get too close. And so if I am stoic and angry or bitter and put off the vibe of don't mess with me, don't talk with me, don't touch me, don't get too close to me, then I'll never have to deal with me. And so my hate for myself overflows into keeping people at arm's distance all my life. Now I will allow the Holy Spirit to point his finger at whoever. Does anybody in here constantly believe that your value is defined by something that you did in your past or what someone said your value was? I'm going to tell you that I believe your value is in what God says your value is. I'm going to tell you, I believe that your value is of eternal worth, or Jesus Christ wouldn't have gave his life for you. So I hope today that before the end of this morning's message, if you're a self-hater, that you might listen to a different voice by the time this message is done. And then I thought about the people, lastly, that it's pain. It's pain that defines them. You see, oftentimes, whenever we've had something happen in our past, now it could be a sin that we performed, or it could be an act that was perpetrated on us. That pain is something that we can grab a hold of, and it's like a suitcase that we carry with us the rest of our lives. It's also like a lens, and we begin to look through that lens at every situation, every conversation, every relationship, through this lens of a past pain that is now present in everything that I do. And so I see you through the pain of my past. Now, if you don't know this by now, hurt people tend to, anybody? Hurt people. Young people, write that down. Hurt people. If you don't ever get past the pain, what do you have to give in the relationship? What are you going to give to the people that you love the most if you can't get past the pain? It says that, who can survive a crushed spirit? The answer is obvious and rhetorical. No one. If you walked in here crushed today, you're hanging by a thread. Where are you going to go to get help? Here is God's word speaking directly into your life this morning. And he's saying, if you'll let me, I can help you. If you'll let me, I can heal you. If you'll let me, I can fix what seems like is impossibly broken. Dr. Strange cries out in his agony. He says, it's not getting better. It's not getting better. I want to ask you, just be honest in here this morning. If you're in an area of your life in which it's not getting better, are you going to sit in pride and ride it out? Or are you going to go to the God who says, I am always ready. Every day, I am ready to help you. I'll give you an illustration I came upon, and I loved it. It's about a guy named Charlie Steinmetz. Charlie Steinmetz, old Charlie. He was the guy that designed all the generators for the first Ford factory. After they came online one day, eventually, all the generators came to a grinding halt. And so all the repairmen were called in, and they tried their best, and you know, but they didn't make them. They didn't design it. They didn't create it. And so ultimately, they couldn't fix it. So they called up old Charlie, Charlie Steinmetz. We need to get him on the horn, have him come down here. Charlie came in, and in no time flat, he had the generators up whizzing again. Mr. Ford gets the bill, $10,000 for just a little bit of work. $10,000 back then dollars. Are you hearing, what I'm saying? And he's flabbergasted, and so he calls up Charlie, and he says, what's the deal, $10,000? How do you justify that? And Charlie said, well, let me break it down for you. I charged you $10 to tinker with the generators. I charged you $9,990 because I knew where to tinker. Like, woo, oh my goodness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Like, you don't know where to tinker. You understand why it's broken and why it's not getting better? It's because you don't know. If you could fix it, you would have fixed it by now. You know why you keep lusting? You know why you keep looking in wrong places? Do you know why you keep trying to get your identity in what you do? It's because you don't know how to tinker. You don't know how to fix it because it's broken, not in the physical. It's beyond the physical. It's in the spiritual, the natural. Is not going to fix it. The normal is not going to fix it. Dr. Strange has now spent all his money and all his effort and looked in every place, and he's not getting better. How do we answer an accident that leaves us in the pit of purposelessness? Man, I hope that I can spend the rest of this morning's message helping you. We're going to look at clip number two, the title of this morning's message. It's not about you. The greatest life lesson that is lived out in Christianity is this truth presented in this clip. Would you watch this with me?
You wonder what I see in your future?
No. Yes.
I never saw your future, only its possibilities. You have such a capacity for goodness. You always excelled. But not because you crave success, but because of your fear of failure.
It's what made me a great doctor.
It's precisely what kept you from greatness. Arrogance and fear still keep you from learning the simplest and most significant lesson of all.
Which is?
It's not about you. When you first came to me, you asked me how I was able to heal Jonathan Pangborn. I didn't. He channels dimensional energy directly into his own body.
He uses magic to walk.
Constantly. He had a choice. To return to his own life, or to serve something greater than himself.
So I could have my hands back again. My old life.
You could. And the world would be all the lesser for it.
I'm getting ready to preach. Luke 17. Let's just read it and then I'll get into this clip. Luke 17, the 10 lepers. I've never even preached on this in 27 years of preaching. I've never preached this passage. I'm looking forward to it. I love preaching something I've never preached before. It says that Jesus was on his way from Galilee to Samaria and he encountered 10 lepers. Now, a leper that has leprosy is an incurable disease in which you became an outcast in society because you were contagious and you were ceremonially unclean. So you were kicked out and you lost everything that you had ever known. You were separated from everyone that you had ever loved and you became dependent upon begging from society for a morsel of bread every day in your condition. Jesus encountered 10 10 lepers in their broken, hapless state. It was not getting better. And there was no prospect that it was ever going to get better. They cried out to Jesus. They said, "Have pity. Have pity on us." Man, I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you're asking God for just a little crumb, just a little bit, God. Just have pity on my situation. God, help my situation. And Jesus said, "Okay, go show yourself to the priest." And so as they traveled to the priest, because the priest is the only person that could give you essentially your credentials back so that you could have your old life, so you could return to your house, so you could return to church, so you could go back to your family. He said, "Go show yourself to the priest." It says, as they went, they were cleansed. So they had an encounter with Jesus, and then they left him, and as they were walking away, that which was incurable was cleansed. I mean, that's a good day, right? That's a good day. Like, I don't know if you walked in here and, like, maybe say you were drowning in debt. Maybe you had $1 million in debt and I walked up and I gave you $1 million. You'd be like, "Woo, yes, thank you, Jesus," right? I mean, you'd be happy if your situation was broken and impossible and I fixed it in an instant as you were even walking away. Man, that's good stuff. It says that one of the lepers, realizing what God had done in him, said, "You know what? There's a curiosity that there has to be something more." It says he returned. He returned. And he returned with a shout. If you can't preach this, then I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to preach this. I mean, it says he returned with a shout. He returned with a loud voice, with gratitude, thanksgiving, oozing out of his experience with grace. The grace that had fixed the facade, had fixed the physical, had fixed his problem on the outside. And he said, "Man, there must be something to the source that was able to heal what was impossibly broken on the outside. I want to go see what is the source. I know there's got to be something more in the source." And so he returns with a loud voice. And he said, "Hallelujah, praise Jesus, amen. I don't even know who this guy is, but I know I was broken and now I'm fixed." And so he comes and he falls at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus says, "Now wait a minute. Weren't there 10? There was 10, right? I helped 10. And only one came back to give glory to God? Only one was curious, and even the one that was curious says he was a foreigner. He was a Samaritan. I don't know if that means something to you, but a Samaritan was the people that were the outcast of the outcast. The Jewish people hated the Samaritans. The other 9 were Jewish. So the people that were supposed to know his name, the people whose great-great-great-grandfather walked across the Red Sea on dry ground, crossed the Jordan and stacked the stones, saw the walls of Jericho fall and the fire come down on top of Mount Carmel, his people that were called by his name didn't come back to give him praise. Well, I started looking at this and I thought, oh my gosh. The question then, as we look at these 10 incidents, is what did you do with what he did? Your life is going to be summed up by what you do with what he did for you. Think about that for just a moment. He says to this man in the last verse, "Your faith has made you whole." And that is better translated. Put it up there. Get on there. Get it up. Says, "Rise and go, your faith has made you whole." Now, this is not translated as good as it can be translated. This word is actually in the Greek sozo, which means salvation. So it's really, "Your faith has saved you." So he had already made him whole on the outside. Now he was making him whole on the inside. You see, there's a grace that can fix the physical, but there's a different level of life that is required to fix the spiritual. You see, whenever you go looking for answers in the physical, you're going to come up short of your brokenness. It's broken and it's not getting better, but His grace that is given to you in everyday blessings, that He's allowed you to live, that He saved your life so many times from ruin. How many times was death at your door and you didn't even know it, and He's kept you alive. He's kept your heart beating. He's kept you breathing. He has blessed you on the outside more than you could possibly ever deserve or earn. And yet I thought, what if this 9 out of 10 is some kind of percentage? What if 90% of people take just enough grace to fix the physical, but never fix the spiritual? What if you just wanted His grace to get your old life back? What if you thought that His grace was just to make your life, you were blessed just to have the best? You see, this is a trap of many people, I think, that go to church. They think they're blessed to have the best. They think that God's blessing is so they could have the best car, they could have the best wife, they could have the best house, they could have the best kids, they could have the best. And it's not about suffering, it's not about sacrifice, it's not about preferring someone else ahead. God bless me, and He must bless me so that I can have the best. 9 guys ran off to get their old life back. Wouldn't it be terrible? Wouldn't it be terrible if you were like the Israelites when they were sent out from 430 years of slavery? It says that they couldn't even carry all the gold and silver that God sent them out with. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was more than they could handle how good God was on the outside. And then as soon as they got outside, you know what they wanted? Their old life back. Their old life. See, we are crying out, God, I want restoration. Restoration. And God is saying, no, you don't. You want relocation. You're trying to fix up the old house that is sitting on the shifting sand, that is waiting for the storm to come in and knock everything over so that you lose all that you thought was valuable. And you're saying, God, I just want you to restore. I just want you to refurbish. And He's saying, no, you don't understand. The storm is coming. And if you don't relocate to the solid rock, then you're going to lose everything because you found your identity in something other than me. You see, your identity is not in your ethnicity. Your identity is not in your economy. Your identity is not in who you were born or what brand you belong to. Your identity is in Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Like when you get to heaven someday, it's not going to be the brand that you belong to. There's not going to be the Catholic corner and the Baptist corner or the Church of Christ and like, oh, don't tell the Church of Christ. Everybody else made it. And so it's like that's not going to exist in heaven. You understand that? Jesus didn't create brands. We created those. And so religion is not what's going to save a man. Religion never made one life better. So I started thinking about it. 9 out of 10 were happy with the grace that made the outside look good. Just enough grace to make me look good. I thought, how many people walk into church every week just trying to look good? Just trying to get that old life back. Just trying to make your life the best that it could be. Is that what His grace is worth to you? Man, just enough grace to calm the waters that are raging around you. But not so much Jesus that you would ever be willing to get out of the boat. Just enough Jesus to save my finances from ruin, but not enough Jesus to reorder and reprioritize my finances to where God is honored first and I honor my family second. Just enough Jesus to save my marriage that is on the verge of collapse, but not enough Jesus that I move from selfish, self-centered choices with my love concept inside of holy matrimony to self-sacrifice and selflessness that says I love her more than I love myself. I love her the way that Christ loved the church. You see, just enough Jesus to make it look good on the outside. Oh, I've got to preach to somebody. How do you receive grace? You can't receive grace and walk away. You see, there's a level of grace that leads you to the understanding that there's a different level of life. There's life on the outside, physical, but God is interested in life on the inside, spiritual. And everything he does in the physical is to give you a picture of what he wants to do in the spiritual. Leprosy was incurable. Leprosy separated them from all that they knew and all that they loved. God is saying what they had on the outside is what all of us have on the inside. We have a sickness called sin that we can't fix. We're broken and we're not getting better. We don't have the answer to the accident that's befallen us. And if we're not careful, we fall into this pit of purposelessness, trying to find our identity in all these things that we do and all these things that we can accumulate. 9 out of 10 just wanted their old lives back. Oh, but there was one. And that's the one we're going to talk about. There was one that came back, what? With a shout. With a shout on his lips. There was one that came back filled with gratitude for the grace that he had received. And he come walking up to Jesus. Hallelujah, praise God, amen. And he falls. See, there's a grace that will make you turn around. There's a grace that will make you come back for more. There's a grace that will make you fall down at the Savior's feet and say, I don't know who you are, but I want more of what you have. And that type of faith, that type of grace, that shout is what God can work with this morning. And the church said, amen. Yes. Oh, I'm just getting started. Don't you worry about it. Don't you worry about it. Oh, he can work with a shout like that. I don't even understand how people walk into his house every week without a shout on their lips, looking all dignified and stoic. Here is a man that received a grace that changed him on the inside, and he was an outsider of the outsiders. And he said, there's got to be something more with this source. There's got to be a different level, and I want to know what it is. If he could do this to the outside, imagine, just imagine what he might be able to do on the inside. He walks up with a shout on his lips. And Jesus says, son, I can work with that faith. Oh, I can work with that shout. All day long, I can work with the shout of praise and thanksgiving and gratitude for the grace that made him whole on the outside was the same grace that could save him on the inside. God is saying all throughout the scriptures, I can work with a shout. Whenever the Israelites were walking around the gates of Jericho, as we were just singing a moment ago, that he would do it again. It says that when they walked around 7 times on the 7th day, they lifted up their voice and they did what? Shouted. And when they shouted, what happened? The walls fell down. You will never see the other side if you won't shout. There are some places you can't gain access to without a shout. There's some places that only he can take you into, and without a shout, you're not getting in. As Gideon gathered his 300 against 130,000, it says they broke their pots and they shouted. Now, do you look at the odds? There are some odds that are against you in life, and there's no way you could overcome the odds of your enemies that you're facing without God. But a shout. A shout will get you past. A shout will shatter the confidence of the enemy and allow you to have victories that would have been impossible. A shout will take you further in your life than you ever dreamed your own life could produce. Oh, he can work with a shout. Last shout. When Jesus was on the cross, breathing his last, bleeding his last, it says that he lifted up his voice with a shout. And he said, it is finished. It is finished. And he breathed his last. If everything he does in the physical is an unveiling and an unlocking of the spiritual, what is the picture he was painting at the cross? Physically, he gave his life. It wasn't about him, was it? It wasn't about his comfort. It wasn't about his convenience. It wasn't the avoidance of pain or the avoidance of stress, which we define life and success by if we can avoid pain, if we can avoid stress, if we can avoid inconvenience, then we have succeeded. And yet Jesus shows us this illustration that is fraught in our clip and so eloquently put that, yes, you could use this gift to get your old life back, but the world would be worser for it. He has something better in mind with the gift of grace that he's given you. He's not just trying to clean you up on the outside. He's trying to transform you on the inside to take this insignificant speck of dirt that is your life and turn it into something incredible, a God-sized life. Are you content to walk away with a grace that fixed the outside but never touched the inside this morning? Oh, he shouted on that day, and 3 days later, he came up out of the grave. What did it represent? If he could conquer death physically, it represented that he could conquer death spiritually. You see, your body is going to pass away, and there's nothing that can stop that. But your spirit endures forever. Now, where are you going to go to fix the brokenness of sin? The Bible says because of that sin, we will all one day be separated from God for all of eternity in a place called hell. But Yahweh stepped in to help you. Yahweh stepped in to help me. And he found me when I was broken. He found me when I wasn't beautiful. And he said, I will help you. I will help you. I will save you. I will give you grace. You want to know why I preach the way that I do? You want to know why I'm excited every week? Do you think that nothing bad ever happens in my life? No. Do you think I don't deal with people's trash every day? Absolutely. Why doesn't it weigh me down? Because I got a shout in my life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've received something from God that allows me to endure because it's not about me. It's about you. It's about him. I would rather use up my life to build up his kingdom than to ever serve my own self. And that's what gives you life this morning. He has power over death, the death that separates us from God. And he is the only bridge that can make it better. You've been trying all your life, but you don't know where to tinker. You've been trying to fix it all your life, but it hasn't gotten better. Why would you not humbly, mercifully fall at his feet this morning and say, God, help me. God, fix me. God, make me. And allow God to step in. Now, if he does that, and if he's done that for you, then I'm telling you, you better have a shout. You better have a shout. There is no way in the world, if you've experienced grace on that level, that you can't have a shout for your Savior. I'm telling you right now, if you are a person that sits stoically every week, you don't have the grace of God abiding in your life, because it is impossible to have received and not shout with gratitude. Now let's stand on our feet and we're going to worship. Band, get out here. Let's go. Let's go. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want these people to receive everything that you have for them. God, there's more to life than just fixing the outside. God, there is more to life than just taking your grace and making my life the best that it can be. God, no. Why wouldn't I rather make the kingdom the best that it can be? God, why couldn't I take my life and make you the centerpiece? And God, I want you to be the best that you can be in my life. Oh, God, help us to see with clarity this morning that grace is meant to lead us to grace. That the inside is so much more important than the outside. So many Sunday Christians play in church asking God, shine me up today, God. Shine, make it look good, God. God is saying to you, until you humble yourself and say, nah, it's not about the outside. If you don't If you want to stay where you're at, stay. But there's another level that grace is supposed to take you to. A level where you can't help yourself. What he's done for you, you can't help yourself. When we give you the opportunity of just, you can't help yourself. Because he saved you. He saved you and you didn't deserve it. If you've never accepted Christ, as we sing, why wouldn't you just pray right where you're at? God help me. I guarantee you, you just pray that, he'll save you right now. God help me. All the dude did was come, fall down, and say hallelujah. And Jesus said, I see that faith. I'll save you. He didn't pray a prayer. He acknowledged from the heart that only God could fix what was broken on the inside. Are you hearing me today, church? You need Jesus in your life. Not on a superficial level, but on a supernatural level. That's where you need Jesus today. And as we sing, the reason why we sing is because somebody in here has been crushed. Someone walked in here and they are broken. And if what we project up here isn't what the Bible says about Jesus, then we have hopelessly failed them. And I want you to see every week that what we have on the inside is what's available to you. You can get filled up today to the point of overflow. Someone else could be saved. Can I get a witness in here today?